And Thrive Church, how's everybody doing this morning? You glad to be in God's house? Yeah. This is one of those clappy, happy churches, right? But I want you to know, man, when you come, if you're just new to this church and just a lot of clapping going on, you know what that is? Even the Bible talks about that. That is a form of giving praise to God. So let's just do that right now. I love to do it. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you the honor today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I want to welcome all those who are watching online and the 715 checking us out. And as always, I will tell you, we're glad you were with us on online, but it is better in person. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So glad that you are with us this morning. Well, a thing happened last week. We had a team that was in El Salvador, and we're going to be talking a little bit, highlight some of the things next Sunday about that trip. So that was such a great thing. But a thing happened in my life, and Michelle and I have just made a transition last week. We went from just being parents to grandparents. Yeah. And I don't know if it's a thing, but we're supposed to show off, right? That's what grandparents do. So I just want you to introduce you a little Blake Josephine. Come on, all together on the count of three. One, two, three. Gonna wake her up. Yeah. So we are, man, my heart is going pitter-patter, and I'm just loving it. And we are open to grandparent advice. We did get to visit with our daughter last Thursday. I did ask her if it was a little too early to take little Blake out for ice cream. I was shut down, but I'm going to just kind of keep moving forward here. Hey, we're in a sermon series here. I don't know if you realize, I don't know if you've been getting the flyers in the mail or checking out the commercials on TV, but we are in election season. Surprise, surprise, right? And we are just a few weeks out, just over 3 weeks away from Election Day. And I told you, I would remind you of this each and every week. If it's not on your calendar, November 4th. And by the way, we live in one of those states where you can vote early. And I will never tell you how to vote, other than I would encourage you to seek the Lord and let the Spirit lead you on how to vote and what that looks like. But I want you to know this, as a Christ follower, you have both a duty and a responsibility. There has just been too much sacrifice that has been given to us that we live in this country. Trust me, we just got back from El Salvador. We are living the blessed life. I promise you, we are living the blessed life. If not, just join and sign up for the next missions trip that we go on, and you will find that out. We are blessed to live in this country. And so with that blessing comes responsibility. And I want to challenge each and every one of you who is above the age of 18 to vote in this upcoming election. Because, and then we've been on this sermon series called Under God, and we've been talking about, the reason why we're talking about politics is because there's a problem with politics. And the problem with politics is this: there is a temptation. There is a temptation in political seasons like this to become more dependent on man than our dependency on God. And that's really where this whole election thing is very important, who is in our office and who are our governing authorities. I want to just announce to you today, you've heard me say it before, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. Can we just give another shout out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And so I want to remind you this morning, no matter who holds the office, no matter who wins the election, never forget that our God still holds the world. Amen? Our God holds the world. So even our Pledge of Allegiance, we talk about this. We've been kind of playing off our Pledge of Allegiance under God. Isn't it interesting that even in our Pledge of Allegiance, we recognize that we are this great nation, some say the greatest nation in all of the world, we are one nation under God. One nation under God. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk about under, the title of my message is Under Authority. Under authority. So what is this word authority is not, for a lot of us, it's not our favorite word to hear. You know, it just sounds so, I think sometimes we struggle because we know that we're under authority. Some of you have maybe had some difficulties with people who had or have authority over you. But the definition of authority is this: it is a person or an organization with the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. So here's some authority examples, okay, that each and every one of you may have. Most of you, you have a boss or you have a manager, and that person, you are under their authority. Some of you are students. Some of you are students, and you have a teacher, and you have a principal, you have a superintendent that you are under their authority. We pay the government our taxes that are due to the government, and they had this organization called the IRS. And we have the obligation, we are under their authority, that we are to pay our taxes. We have these people who drive around in this community, and they got both red lights and blue lights, and they go whirly, 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 whirly. And not that I know anything about this. But they have the power, they have the authority to pull you over, especially if you are going 45 in a 15-mile-per-hour school zone. Please do not do that. But they have the authority. They have the authority to do that. So here's what we need to understand about authority this morning, okay? First of all, we are all under authority. Now, you might be the owner of a business. You may be a billionaire, gazillionaire, and you're retired or whatever. I want you to know this morning, we are all under authority. Just poke your neighbor in the arm and say, you're under authority. Second of all, we've all in some way have struggled with authority. in some ways, we have struggled with authority. I'm not going to go there right now, but we all have a responsibility for how we respond to authority. And here's the deal. When I've discovered this, I've learned this lesson the hard way, and sometimes I feel like I continue to lose it. Remember, when we go against authority, it rarely goes well. How many of you have discovered that reality in life? How many of you took a time or two to learn that when you go against authority, when you try to put yourself above authority, it rarely goes well. It rarely goes well. Number five, when we will all be held accountable for how we respond to authority. So here's the reality. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. When we struggle to honor authority, we struggle to honor God. Let that sink in. Just think about that for a moment. When we struggle to honor authority, what we're doing is we're really struggling to honor God. We go back, if you have your Bible, you can go back to the Genesis part, the very first book in the Bible. You can go to the third chapter, and you read about this story of these human beings who are just created by God, and they were tempted to go above the authority of God. And I want you to know today, you are struggling with sickness, you are struggling with disease, you are struggling with addictions, you're struggling with challenges, you're struggling with your sin nature because these two people decided to go against authority. They struggled with authority. And I'll tell you this morning, I know this to be true in your life, and it's true in mine. The root of many of your problems today come directly from your inability to come under authority. Authority. So the question I have today is, how do we come under authority that is adversarial? How do we come under dishonorable authority? Have you ever read a Bible story that when you read it, he just kind of chuckled. And you're like, that would have been kind of fun to be there. You read it, and it was confusing. You disagreed. It didn't make sense. So you just read it like, what? Okay. Today, we're going to talk about one of those stories in 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 15. And I trust me, we're going to get into some junior high bathroom humor here, just a little bit here. But we're going to look at a man, how a man after God's own heart responded to adversarial king, his authority, okay? So the story goes like this. There's a King Saul who was appointed by God to be the king of Israel. However, everybody say however. However, the king was not a man after God's own heart. And over time, he became very jealous of this young man named David, who it was very apparent that the anointing of God was on this young man's life. And more Saul saw this, the more jealous he became because he had blown it and the anointing had left his life. And the king became so jealous, he wanted David dead and he wanted him dead right now. And there was a couple attempts on his life. A couple times where the king just like, pick up the spear and whoosh, and David just duck, you know. Just missed it. What's that one movie where they go like this? Matrix, yeah. David pulled one of those Matrix moves there. So after a few attempts, David got the hint that he needs to get out of town. But instead of the king just letting it go, he just was so enraged, so jealous, that he lined up 3,000 of his elite troops, and he went on a search-and-destroy mission for David. Well, during David's time away, he began to gather up a small army of himself. And so the story goes that they were hiding. David and his men were hiding deep, deep, deep into this cave. Now, this is where we get to the junior high part. It says that, lo and behold, King Saul came upon this cave, and he needed to relieve himself. Some of you guys chuckling because you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And so the king decided, hey, I need to see a man about a horse, okay? And he decided to go into this very dark cave. And then David and his men saw what was coming his way, and he was coming in alone. I'm like, David, do you see what's happening here? This was of God. God brought this man. All of our problems can go away. All we need to do is just one little. So David thought about it, and he walked up behind him. It says that his conscience was stirred. He couldn't kill the king, but he cut off a piece of his robe. And after the king was done with his business, washed his hands. You're welcome, Mom and Dad, for saying that, reminding you. Wash your hands. Went out to his troops, and then David came out. Saul. King Saul. King Saul, like, it's just about. He's holding up a piece of his robe. I had your life in my hands. I could have taken your life. But I recognize that you are the king. You are God's anointed king. And I could not do what my men asked me to do, what they called for me to do. I recognize that all of my problems could have went away. I would no longer have to live in a deep, dark cave like this. And I could be free. But he said, I am a man under the authority of God, and I'm a man who's under your authority. Here's what I know about the upcoming election. There will be a winner that is declared eventually. I don't know if it will happen that night. As the past few elections, sometimes these things get drug out a little while, but I know that there will be a candidate that is elected. And here's what I do know. For some of you, I don't know how you're voting. I'm not going to tell anybody. But for some of you, it will probably be a king or a president that you find to be adversarial. Chances are, okay? Chances are. And the question is, how do you respond to an adversarial king? What is your response when the one who is in authority, they make it very extremely hard to follow? What do you do when leaders fail us, when they lose your trust? What do you do when they choose injustice over righteousness? How do you respond? How did David, a man after God's own heart, even being hunted down by a narcissistic, psychopathic, murderous king, how did David respond? That's what I want to talk to you this morning, how to respond to an adversarial king. And I guess, can we just put this on pause here? I just want you to know that this is more than a presidential election. I want you to know, for some of you, maybe that your care level about a president, maybe it's just not up there. That's okay. But for some of you, it's your boss. That person is an adversarial king to you. Or for maybe some of you, it is the IRS. Maybe some of you, it is the police. Maybe students, maybe you do have one of those teachers. Maybe students, young people, maybe that's your parent. How do you respond to an adversarial king? We're going to look at David's story this morning. And the first thing that I think David would tell us this morning, how do you respond? First of all, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Look at your other neighbor and say, you need to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Look what it says here. He says in verse 5, but then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut off Saul's robe. You see, if you know the story, you read the scripture, you know that David had every right to respond in anger, revenge. He had every right to make this problem go away. Saul had set himself up as an evil king, and everybody would have applauded. Everyone was like, yes, finally we have freedom. But yet David's conscience spoke to him. You know, when your conscience speaks to you, when you are a Jesus follower, God places his Holy Spirit inside of you, and that Holy Spirit begins to speak. How many of you have heard the Holy Spirit speak to you before? Raise your hand. You've heard him speak. He speaks through your conscience. And he's that one who's like, oh, I don't know if you should do that. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. And then other times, like, oh, yeah. Go ahead, speak to that person. You need to give some support to that person. The Holy Spirit speaks. Well, the Holy Spirit was speaking to David's conscience and saying, I don't know if that was the best decision, David. He knew it wasn't, David knew that it wasn't right to repay evil for evil. How many of you know that we live in an unjust world? We live in an unjust world because of, again, Adam and Eve. And because of their decisions to go above authority, go around, because of this, in many ways, some of you are facing situations, you are facing adversarial leaders, situations, circumstances that are just not fair. And for some of you, you are here today when you were just like, I would love for this adversarial boss to be transitioned, to move somewhere else. I would love for this problem to go away. But a lot of times in injustice, all we want to do is lash out and make it right. And that's why God's word reminds us in Proverbs 4:23. This is a powerful scripture verse. I want you to look at it with me this morning. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If you're here today and you are wrestling with an adversarial king, an adversarial boss, maybe it's an adversarial spouse, the first thing I would encourage you with this morning is that you would guard your heart, because Proverbs tells us it determines the course of your life. In other words, what you let into your heart, that's what's going to pour out of your heart. What you fill your heart with is what's going to flow from your life. You know, years ago, there was a situation that happened with my family. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but both of my parents were in very poor health. One of them was in hospice. The other one was close to being in hospice as well. And sometimes there are sibling challenges during times like this. And I had a sibling who made a move that was not beneficial. It only benefited himself and not the rest of the family. And his decision made me so angry. It made me so bitter. I so wanted to make my sibling go away, if you know what I mean, okay? And I began to recognize the things that I was practicing in my mind. You ever do that before? You ever get somebody get you so upset and you just begin to practice your speech? Because when I get into his face, because he was 500 miles away, when I get there, I'm going to tell him this and this and this. How many of you have practiced the speech before? Okay? And you're just going to set him straight and he's going to get down on his hands and knees and say, I am so sorry because of your great speech. Well, I practiced my speech, and I delivered my speech with a lot of passion and a lot of vigor. And guess what changed? Nothing. And I found myself thinking like my adversary. I began to say things like my adversary. I will just tell you this. I said and did a lot of things that to this day I regret. I look back, and I wish I wouldn't have done that. It had a tight hold on my heart. I had allowed hurt and bitterness and vengeance so fill my heart, and guess what was coming out of my mouth? Everything that was in my heart. And again, that's why the psalmist tells us, guard your heart above all else, for it's the wellspring of life. And I want to encourage you and challenge you. During this election season, there's a lot of things that touch our hearts. We watch those commercials and like, that's not fair. That's not right, right? And it gets into our heart, and all of a sudden, now, that's how we are at work. That's how we are in our home, in our home life, in our marriages. I want to challenge you, encourage you, during this election season, guard your hearts. Number two, I think David would tell us, honor the office of authority. Now, this is a tough one. Not always easy. To David's men, King Saul was the problem. And they wanted this problem to go away, and they wanted to go away real quick. They wanted to get back to life as normal. No more running, no more hiding, no more sleeping in damp caves, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. Freedom. All we have to do is get rid of the king. This was their opportunity to fix the problem. However, everybody say however. Listen to what David said, how he responded to his men. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord, the king. I should, did you notice that? My Lord, the king. David just said, hey, what you're challenging me to do is to go above the authority when I am under the authority of the king. Can everybody just kind of put themselves right here? Can we just kind of make this our hand motions? We have authority, and I am under the authority of the king. I'm under the authority of the king. Now, David may not understand why Saul was such an evil king. All he knew that he was under the authority. Even though Saul was an unworthy king, he was still Israel's anointed king, and he was God's chosen king. Instead of taking things into his own hands and determining that the king should not continue any longer, instead of this, David knew that if God established it, God would rectify it. Did you hear me this morning? If God establishes, he will rectify it. Romans 13, it says, the Apostle Paul reminds us, he says, everyone, hey, just look around, and just look around this room right now, everyone, I'm talking to everyone here. Paul says, everyone must, no, you're not going to like this next word, so just hide your eyes, just close your ears if you don't want to hear it. Everyone must submit. That's one of those words that is just not popular nowadays. But we must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Where does it come from? Where does authority come from? Just some authority? All authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Just for those who are in authority here today, raise your hand. If you have a position of authority, raise your hand. Do you know God placed you there? Do you know God placed you, he positioned you in your place of authority? And I believe that because God has placed you in a position of authority, you have more, there's more for you to be accountable to. There is a bigger responsibility for your life. Paul tells us that governing authorities was God's idea, and they were established by God to bless, protect, and prosper society. So I want you to know whether we have good leaders or bad leaders, they will be held account for their position of authority. They're put in position by God. And this doesn't mean, of course, that all authority is godly. Did you hear that? Just because God places them there doesn't mean they're all great, godly men, women of God. I mean, yeah. I know that. But you know what? When you look through the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you know what you find? Every time that the topic of authority is brought up, the issue, this word, submit, is also stuck in the midst of it. To submit means to willingly place oneself under the authority of another. And so you do this by following and obeying the laws of our country, the laws of our state, our county, our city, our speed limits, the IRS. We come under the authority and we submit. That's how we submit to that, by obeying the laws. And when I submit to governing authorities based on God's word, I'm ultimately submitting to God and his design. It's like saying to God, God, I believe the king's heart is like the channels of water in the hands of the Lord. You turn it wherever you wish. I'm going to submit to the governing authority unless it violates clearly your word. When I like it and when I don't like it, trusting that you know what's best and will change them as they need to be changed. Hard. Some of this is hard to hear, right? This is challenging to hear this. The third thing I think David would tell us is we need to restrain ourselves from rebellion. Restrain ourselves from rebellion. You look at David's response, verse 7. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. This must have been, again, if you know the story of David and Saul, I mean, this is an ongoing issue, an ongoing battle. And this must have just taken so much self-restraint. And I want to challenge us, church. We need to be people who have self-restraint, that we have, the Bible calls us self-control. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of love, power, and self-control. God has given you that spirit. And David was just practicing that. Now, we talk about this word rebellion. Rebellion, again, is when you go in opposition to the one in authority. It's when we do what Adam and Eve did. When they said, you can't tell me what to do. That's rebellion. And the reality is when you rebel against authorities God has over you, you're actually rebelling against God. But David wisely said, no, we're not going to do that, as tempting as that would be. No, because God sets up kings and he brings them down, and I will be subject to those authorities God has put over me. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. And if we don't learn to practice self-restraint, we can easily develop a rebellious heart. And I believe that's what King Saul's issue really was. I think that's what made him an evil king, because he was a king with an evil heart. How do I know that? You look in 1 Samuel 15. There's a situation where the prophet Samuel, by the way, the prophet Samuel had authority over King Saul. He had authority over him. And God gave the prophet Samuel a download. I want you to tell this. I want you to give this download to King Saul. And so he went to King Saul and said, hey, this is the download that God has given me to give to you. And the King Saul said, I don't want to. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. He probably did one of these things, and I'm sure you've never done this at work. Like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Like, I ain't done that. No way. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. But he refused. No, I don't want to do that. And so God made Samuel aware of that, and again, the prophet Samuel confronted King Saul, and he says, listen to me, he rebuked him. This is what he said to him. He says, you have just fallen into a spirit of rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. Did you hear that rebuke? King Saul, you are walking in a spirit of rebellion. You're walking, you're trying to pull just like Adam and Eve did, trying to go around the authority. David was a man after God's own heart. King Saul was a man after Satan's own heart. Saul had the spirit of rebellion. David had the spirit of submission and self-restraint. And you know, you're never more like Satan than when you are living in a spirit of rebellion. And just time out here. You know, we all know. We all know when we're living in a spirit of rebellion, right? We know that when God is speaking to us and we hear him and we ignore his voice and we do the opposite. What we do in a spirit of rebellion, we do what we want to do because nobody can tell me what to do. And we're never more like Satan than when you're in rebellion. And you're never more like Jesus than when you're in submission. Paul tells us in Romans 13:2, he says, so anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Now, I want you to catch something here. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, are we supposed to do whatever authorities tell us to do? Remember what I was talking about earlier, that even in our Pledge of Allegiance, we proclaim who has the highest authority. We are one nation under God. One nation under God. And as Jesus followers, for sure this morning, we have a higher authority than Earth's authority. For example, here's some examples of some civil disobedience. Here's sometimes where some opportunities where kings have said, hey, you need to do this. And people like reckon that, cannot do that because I come under the authority of the King of Kings, and that would violate the King of Kings. For example, in Exodus 1:15-21, Pharaoh instructed the people, kill these Israelite children. There's Israelites, no, we're not going to do that. No, not going to do that. Instructed with Rahab, the authorities instructed the people to turn in the spies. In Jericho, Rahab, no, I'm not going to do that. Instructed to engage in false worship. In Daniel chapter 3, the king Nebuchadnezzar instructed people that when they hear the trumpet sound, that they're to bow down and worship this idol. And there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And then the king later on said, hey, you must only pray to my God. You can't. Anybody who's going to pray to any other gods, you'll be caught and you'll be thrown into a lion's den. And Daniel said, yeah, I'm sorry, king. I recognize your authority, but there is a higher authority, and I'm not going to go against that. And so he continued to pray. And then you read into the New Testament, and you'll see time after time after time, the authorities told the apostles, they said, no more preaching this Jesus. And the apostles responded like, hey, I'm sorry, king, but there's a higher king than you, and I just cannot stop proclaiming this Jesus. So whatever you're going to do to me, whatever the punishment is, but I must submit to his leadership over yours. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we give our allegiance and our submission to him. almost finished here. We show respect. Respect is simply to treat others in the same way that you want to be treated. So I live in this neighborhood. I'm not going to tell you where, but if I just give you enough description, you probably know what I'm talking about. There is a gentleman who lives along a very popular street, and he has some very disrespectful signs that he puts out, especially during political season, all year long, but he's especially around this time of year. I just was pulling up along behind a guy the other day, so he's at a traffic light, and a gentleman had some very, very, very disrespectful bumper stickers against authority. And some people may laugh, and it's like, that's not such a big deal. But there's this issue called respect, and we are to give. If we have authority over us, we're to give respect, whether they deserve it or not. We are to give respect to authority. Look what David said here. He came out and he shouted after him. He's talking about King Saul. He says, "My Lord, the King." Do you hear the respect? He didn't come out and say, "Saul, you idiot, you jerk." No. "My Lord, the King." And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Before a king, an adversarial king who wants to destroy David's life, David bows down to him. Respect. David spoke to the king with respect. This is hard to do, isn't it? It's so hard to give respect for those who do not deserve it. You know, in the New Testament, the early Christians went through a lot of persecution and beatings, unjust imprisonments from the governing authorities, especially the disciples, each of them were martyred because of the governor and authorities. However, listen to Peter's challenge here. First Peter, he says, respect. Everybody say respect. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and... Say that one more time. Fear God and... The president. The mayor. The boss. The teacher, the parent. You are as slaves must submit to your masters with all. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are jerks. You know, there's a lot of people who have the attitude, and I've had this attitude as well. I will give respect for those who give me respect. But for those who don't give me respect, sorry. No. That's not what Peter says here. We're supposed to be people of respect. And you know what? This is not only in real life, but this is also in social media life. In the messages that we put out on Facebook or Instagram. It's also in real life. With conversations with others who might be in agreement with us. This power of respect. Let me continue here quickly here. I believe David would tell us to speak the truth in love. It says, "Then he shouted to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one.'" You see, even in the midst of a volatile situation, David spoke love instead of hate. I have no doubt in my mind that David loved Saul. Well, where does that come from? How do you love somebody who is so volatile? It's not easy, right? It is not easy. And this takes us back to the first commandment. The first commandment, what did Jesus say? The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, and oh, by the way, love others as you love yourself. And I am absolutely convinced, because David was a man after God's own heart, because of his love for God, he was able to love this volatile king. Paul tells us in Ephesians 14, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. And so in this political season, I'm not telling you to be quiet. That's not the message here. I'm going to encourage you to speak. Let's speak. It's okay to speak what we believe. I think it's important. I think it's number, Paul just instructed us, speak, and when you speak, let's speak the truth. Because we know half of the things that we're watching on TV is not the truth. It's just things that people are making up. Let's speak the truth. Let's speak the truth of God. And when you speak the truth of God, this is so important. Just everybody listen to me. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Listen to me. And when you speak the truth of God, speak it with love. I mean, you can, there are some people who have, I've heard them speak, yep, that is truth, that is truth, that is truth, but you're being a jerk. And when you speak the truth of God, don't be a jerk. Write that down in your notes, this, because that's really important. Don't be a jerk. Be Christ-like. Speak the truth and love. And then last one, let go and let God. Folks, when it comes to this election, we've got to learn to trust God. And that's what Paul did, or that's what David did. He says, may the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As the old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds, so you can be sure I will never harm you. Let go and let God. Paul tells us in Romans, he says, listen, and this is hard. We want to come up with, we have that speech, and we want to give that speech. We want to tell that person where to go and how to get there. Paul says, listen, it's not our place to take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Because if you're not careful, you will allow evil to conquer you by doing what is not good. I think the very best thing that we can do during this election season, the most important thing that you can do during this election season and after is to pray. Church, we have got to learn in this political conundrum we have here, we've got to learn to let go and trust God. I want you to listen very closely to Timothy here. Paul's words to Timothy. Well, I'm not sure of the situation that he was going through, but he said, Timothy, listen, I urge you, first of all, I don't know what if he's going through a political battle, an adversarial leader, whatever, pray. Pray for all people. That candidate that you just can't stand right now, it just drives you crazy every time you see them on the television splashing out their lies, whoever it is. That boss at your workplace who just, every week they're just so demeaning, da-da-da-da. When's the last time you prayed for them? Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And this is going to be a tough one, but give thanks for them. Because maybe the hassle and the challenge that you're going through, maybe God's molding and shaping you through them. Then he says, pray this way for kings and all of those in authority in your life so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. Paul's pleading with God's people, pray. When was the last time you prayed for that candidate you can't stand? You prayed for their salvation. You prayed that God would open the eyes of the heart. You pray, when is the last time? Church, listen, are you praying for this election? We've got to be praying. Let God, let your will be done. But oh, by the way, when you pray, God, let your will be done, maybe you might not like it. And maybe you are put under the authority of an adversarial king. We need to pray. So as we close out this message today, I know I'm going a little long here. How do you respond to an adversarial king? And I would just like us right now as a church, can we just pray for those leaders of authority who are maybe our adversaries. Can we pray them right now? I'll say a prayer, but I want you to lead in prayer in Jesus' name. God, we just know that there's so much that challenges us in your word this morning. This is not easy. These are things of the heart. And so we pray for those who are in authority. We see the injustices, we see the things we don't like, the things we don't understand, but we pray for them. We pray that you would open the eyes of their heart, that most of all, they would know you. They would recognize that even they are under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we trust that your will is done in this election coming up. Not only the election coming up, but then the after. So help us to be the Jesus followers you called for us to be in this, in Jesus' name. And maybe you're here this morning before I close, and you would say, I have never allowed Jesus to be the King of Kings in my life. And I recognize I need to do that. You can do that right now. If you'd like to make Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of your lives, you'd like to invite him into your life, just pray this prayer. Say, God, I need you. I invite you, Jesus, to come and live inside of me, to forgive me of my sins. I have been leading this ship for too long, and Lord, I surrender to you. I choose to follow you as the Lord and Savior of my life, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Can we just give God praise this morning? Let's give him praise.